Today is Friday. It's the 22nd of January. This is Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters. State officials say Iowans age 65 and older will now be eligible to get the coronavirus vaccine starting in early February. But as IPR's Natalie Krebs tells us, the vaccination process is expected to move slowly due to the state's current allocation numbers.
Also included in Phase 1B are groups of frontline essential workers, which the state has broken into five tiers. The first tier includes school staff, childcare workers, law enforcement officers, and first responders. But Governor Kim Reynolds says the state currently ranks 46th for the number of doses it's allocated. She said she's working with members of Iowa's congressional delegation to figure out why.
And when you consider the number of nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and assisted living facilities that we have in the state and the vulnerable populations that those include, I would hope that we could get our allocation bumped up a little bit.
Reynolds said the state has received more than 160,000 first doses of the vaccine so far.
Governor Reynolds also says she's unsure if teachers and school staff will be able to get vaccinated before lawmakers send a bill to her desk requiring school districts to offer fully in-person learning during the pandemic. Reynolds says the state currently ranks near the bottom nationally for vaccine doses, but it's allocated.
You know, I don't know. I can't guarantee that because I don't know what we're going to get on doses, and it's always subject to change. Right now, it's 19,500. We're anticipating 39,000 by February 8th, but all of that is just so fluid right now.
State Republican lawmakers plan to advance legislation next week that would require all schools to provide the option of 100% in-person learning during the pandemic. Governor Reynolds asked the Iowa legislature to make that a priority. Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer of Ankeny says he wants to pass the measure as soon as possible.
To me, it's just immoral to let our kids fall an entire year behind because of this pandemic. And we have to balance safety with the desire to make sure our kids are being educated.
The president of the state's largest teachers union says this could lead to the coronavirus spreading more among teachers, students, and their families, and that it should wait until teachers and staff are vaccinated. Labor unions representing state workers have filed a complaint with the State Occupational Safety and Health Administration, arguing the lack of a mask mandate at the Iowa Capitol threatens the safety of everyone who enters the building. The Iowa Federation of Labor AFL-CIO President Charles Wishman says in a letter sent to House Speaker Pat Grassley and Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer yesterday that their refusal to enact or enforce a mandatory mask policy shows a lack of concern about the pandemic. The union and representatives from six other Iowa labor unions filed the complaint yesterday with Iowa OSHA. And Republican Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks is asking the U.S. House to dismiss a challenge brought by her opponent, who is disputing her six-vote margin in the November election. IPR's Kate Payne tells us Miller Meeks filed her motion with the House Thursday.
Miller Meeks says the challenge brought by former Democratic State Senator Rita Hart should be dismissed because Hart didn't first make her case in state court. Miller Meeks' legal team argues that more than a century of precedent shows that candidates should try every legal remedy they can before turning to Congress. Alan Ostergren is an attorney for Miller Meeks.
Time and time again, they have dismissed election contests where the contestant has failed to take advantage of mechanisms under state law to raise these issues.
Guidance issued by congressional staff in 2010 says the House isn't necessarily bound by past precedents. Hart's campaign has argued that the state process wouldn't give enough time for a full review of the race.
It's going to be colder today. This is Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters. Many Great Plains farmers saw abnormally warm and dry weather last season. That may make you think of withered crops and cracked soils, but these conditions can pose another risk for plants: hotter nighttime temperatures. And as Harvest Public Media's Christina Stella reports, that's expected to become a problem for crops that are just trying to get some sleep.
Some farmers say that if you listen to their cornfields closely enough, you might hear more than ears of corn rustling in the wind. You could catch the sound of it growing. There are recordings, like this one, taken by agronomists at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Farmers pray every year for conditions that will make their crops sing like that. Enough moisture, proper sun, no bad weather. In 2020, on top of the year's many problems, a stubborn enemy emerged for farmers across the Great Plains: drought. Dry conditions can hurt a crop's yield by interrupting photosynthesis. Air plus water plus sunlight equals corn. But drought conditions can also go hand in hand with warmer weather. Too little or too much heat at the wrong time can doom a farmer's field. Brian Fuchs, a climatologist at the U.S. National Drought Center, says both can arise in a heartbeat.
For the most part, the timing of that warmth is really key to how not only producers themselves deal with it, but how the plants and the crops that they're trying to grow deal with it.
Corn is especially picky about nighttime temperatures early in its life. If just a few evenings at the start of the growing season are hotter than 50 degrees, that can trigger a cascade of problems, including the plant losing essential carbon and water. Dr. Waleed Sadok, an agronomist at the University of Minnesota, says the effect is similar to getting a bad night's sleep, which can stunt the plant's growth.
When you have that increase in nighttime temperature, the plant does not recover well in the following day. It's kind of dizzy.
Climate change is expected to make drought, heat waves, and warm nighttime temperatures more common in coming decades. And while they don't always go hand in hand, a warmer world could make drought worse in the future.
There is no doubt that frequency of those extreme events is on the rise. We need to make crops more resilient to stresses like drought, high temperature, high nighttime temperature, fast enough to fulfill the need of a growing population.
The search for more resilient plants begins in virtual reality with crop modeling. Sadok uses computer models to test how changing a plant's genes would impact its growth. It's sort of similar to playing a really complicated video game. It's all about trial and error. Plants like corn have about 12,000 more genes than humans, and changing them to make the crop tougher against, say, high heat could make it weaker to something else, like drought.
What we are discovering is that you can improve a variety to be more tolerant in one environment, but it could be really a loser in another environment.
While there's still a lot of work ahead to create enough varieties for farmers to use globally, Sadok says scientists are making good progress. Yet stronger plants alone will not save farmers. Tala Awada, a plant ecophysiologist at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, says they need a bigger toolkit, including better resource management.
You can go with using sensing technologies to drive management practices, such as when you put your nutrients, when you water, and so all of it is technology-driven and sensing-driven.
The technology is there. Whether it's accessible to farmers is another question. She says that will drive whether more people invest in equipment that reduces their risk.
All these technological advancements and innovations that are driving many of the solutions, but they have to be two things, affordable and manageable.
Farming has always been risky. But to prepare for a changing climate, Awada says scientists will keep developing tools to help farmers counter uncertainty. But those will take time to perfect. And for some solutions, farmers might just have to wait. Christina Stella, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media stations across the Great Plains and Midwest reporting on food production and agriculture, including Iowa Public Radio. You're listening to Iowa Public Radio's Here First. I'm Clay Masters. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.